clear, and concise. This is the Shannon Joy Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting live right here on TNT Radio from the Joy Virtual Studio in Western New York. Dave is producing the show today. Thank you, Dave. Had a wonderful weekend. I'm raring to go. As you all know, I turn it off on the weekends. There is so much going on. This world is insane. Everything but the kitchen sink they are throwing at us. The economy, the healthcare, the COVID, the vaccines, the masking, the interest rates, chaos at the border. They're releasing inmates and criminals out into the streets, and the crime is skyrocketing in the U.S. It's just insane. There's a story here from New York State and Rikers Island. It's where they house some of the worst of the worst in terms of violent, vicious criminals. And they have to shut down one of their holding centers because of just absolutely squalid conditions. They can't get people to work in corrections anymore because it's too dangerous because of all of the things that they've gutted in terms of our criminal justice system. So it's just crazy. It's crazy. It's like a third world country in some areas. In our emergency rooms across the U.S., I'm not sure if it's the case across Europe and Australia, how you guys are doing, but things are a nightmare here. And I have the unfortunate position of having to pay attention to all this. All of my friends, they have it on easy street, right? They can stick their head in the sand and pretend that this isn't happening and go into their little world and, you know, take themselves out of the fray, turn off the news. And I just so happen to have a radio show. I have to speak for 2 hours every evening right here on TNT Radio, but also in the States on terrestrial radio, iHeart stations here in Rochester, New York, and on the East Coast. And so it's like, I've got to like, sometimes I wish I didn't have to look at all this stuff, but during the week I pay attention. It all really matters. And we try to put together really great informative shows focused on truth and giving you all of the tools necessary for you to address, to accept what is happening, what is right in front of our faces, and process that, but then be prepared to activate from your own corner of the world. Whether it's Australia or the UK, Scotland, Canada, the United States of America, it's all the same in terms of what is necessary for us to beat back this great reset, the takeover of really pretty much everything by these global fascists. And so that's what we do every week here on the show, but on the weekends, I turn it all off. I don't look at my phone. I don't look at news. Our family, we spent all weekend at the beach. We do have beaches in New York. We have the Great Lakes and beautiful, beautiful topography in Western New York. Most people think of New York State as an urban jungle, right? New York City, pavement, skyscrapers, city living. But in reality, New York State is primarily rolling hills and mountains and pastures and farmland. And it's just beautiful. We have the Finger Lakes, which are freshwater lakes, some of the most beautiful freshwater lakes in the world. And also Lake Ontario, which is, it looks as big as an ocean. It's freshwater. But so we have beaches and the entire Joy family, we all play beach volleyball. So the kids play competitive volleyball all year round. They play for school, they play club, and then they also play on this and double beach in the summer. And I played in college, you know, the entire family, we just all play volleyball. That's what we do. We don't go on fancy vacations or drive nice cars, or we travel and we play volleyball. So the kids were at a tournament this weekend in New York State. It was a bid tournament for the Junior Beach Volleyball Nationals, which is in Fort Lauderdale in July, which is pretty hot, but they all qualified. So that was really exciting. And so I'm in a great mood today. All three kids, my son Jack, Mimi, and Teddy, Jack and Mimi came in second. They lost in the finals, but they still were able to qualify for the national tournament. And Teddy came in third place in his 12U division, and he qualified as well. So we might be going down to Fort Lauderdale for some beach volleyball. So that was really fun. And you just got to live. You know, things are nuts. One of my rules for resistance, people who are going to begin to pick up the torch of liberty and fight for it from your own corner of the world at the local level, a lot of people go in and they're going 100 miles an hour and they hit the roadblocks because this is not a sprint, it's a marathon, and they exhaust themselves, they peter out, and they never get involved in politics or in civics or in government or in activism ever again. And so we're trying to avoid that. And that's why I encourage people to rest. And on the weekend, it's something I practice. I make myself do it. I make myself put down the phone, stop thinking about politics, love my husband, love my children, play volleyball, and live. We have to live even amidst this craziness. We have to continue to live. And that's part of the resistance. And that's part of what is going to keep us going. So there is a lot going on. You heard in the news at the top of the hour that they're going forward, right? Despite all of the data on the vaccines, despite the disturbing safety signals that just keep coming in, the FDA over the weekend has now authorized the COVID-19 vaccine, like this old decrepit vaccine that was created for the first strain of COVID virus, doesn't even work on any of the new mutated variants, right? And this is now approved for babies. Pediatricians across the country here in the US are gonna begin jabbing the kids. Now, that doesn't mean that parents are going to submit their children to the jab. A lot of the data that we are seeing, the limited amount of data that we're seeing on parents, particularly with younger children, 12 and under, their likelihood to even take their child to get vaccinated is very low. So, I mean, some are guessing as low as 30, only 30% or less. So just because the FDA is recommending it, or not even recommending it, but authorizing it, doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to happen. But you are going to have parents across the country who are just morons, who are idiots, who are so woke, so liberal, so progressive, so bought into the COVID lie and the propaganda, so obsessed with virtue signaling, their willingness to take one for the community. And it's not even really them, they're just sacrificing their children. But there will be parents across the country who will do this to their kids. And it's insane. I don't know how you sugarcoat that. So we're going to look at Daniel Horowitz's piece on how insane this is, like what we actually know about. There were studies done. And we're going to get into his piece. I know I promised that last week. It's a really good look at how insane our institutions, FDA, CDC, that they just keep doubling down. It's a little disconcerting when you think about it. Even the economic news in the country is, I mentioned everything but the kitchen sink in the first segment. But you put together the housing situation with low inventory, interest rates, energy prices, inflation everywhere, labor shortages at the same time. It's everything, and everyone sees it. You have Joe Biden standing up and basically saying, we're just going to continue to do exactly what we're doing, as if there is no election coming around the corner in November of 2022. And that makes me very concerned. The Democrats and Joe Biden and the progressives do not seem concerned in the least about what is going to happen in the November elections, which makes me wonder if the November elections are going to happen. Like, what do they have in store? We don't know. We're not privy to their plans. What do they plan on doing to disrupt the electoral process in November of 2022? What does Joe Biden know, and the Democrats and the elites in the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, what do they know that makes them so comfortable in destroying this country in plain sight, right in front of us, and giving us the middle finger while they're doing it? That makes me, that's one of the things that keeps me up at night, because it just doesn't make sense. Now, hopefully, whatever it is that they're planning, they won't get away with it. And that's where this is all in flux. We don't really know what's going to happen. We know what they're going to try to do. Will they be able to achieve it? We don't know. If there are enough of us at the bottom up level fighting back, then they won't be able to achieve it in the way that they've had difficulty in the United States of America. We've pushed back in a million ways in this country, and we are relatively free today because of all the pushback, the protests, the willingness of people to lose jobs and be arrested, organizations that have grown up from red states and blue states across the country. Organization, petitioning, lawsuits, running for locally elected office, supporting people who run for locally elected office. All of that, that's the only reason we have the relative freedoms that we have today. That's the only reason that we crushed the masking and we crushed the lockdowns and we stopped them in their tracks, and they keep trying to put them in place again, and we keep pushing them back. We have to crush their attempts to destroy our economy and our borders and our culture and our way of life. And so we're right in this. We are right in this. And so later in the program, after we deal with Daniel Horowitz's piece, we're going to look at winning. How do we win? That's a fun topic. Before I went out of my break in the last segment, I was talking to you guys about how, as a radio host, when I launched this program a decade ago, I never wanted to be that radio host that came on the air, scared the pants off of you about whatever bad thing is around the corner, blamed it on Democrats, blamed it on, you know, some nameless, faceless party in Washington, D.C., and then left giving you nothing to do, right? There's nothing you can do except for buy my coffee mug or my t-shirt and subscribe to my podcast or subscribe to this or that and give me a little bit of money. And oh, by the way, vote for this candidate. Vote for Republicans in November. And that's the only thing you can do. That just didn't make sense to me. And it's part of the reason we're in the pickle that we're in today, because while we were not paying attention to the local stuff, focusing all of our energies on national electoral contests, the left, the progressives, the Marxists, the fascists have been quietly laying the groundwork in our institutions for the past 30 years. Media, academia, Hollywood, both political parties, our government bureaucracies, our churches, they've been infiltrating. They've been doing the bottom-up work. We haven't been doing it. And so we're behind the eight ball here, but I'm beginning to see a lot of people from our side of the aisle, the liberty-loving movement here in the U.S., begin to talk about localism. And this is a fantastic piece. Second half of the program tonight, we're going to go through this as well. It's so good. I share a brain with this fellow. His name is Christopher Rufo, and he is laying waste in the realm of education in the United States of America to the progressives. And so this is a fantastic piece in Primus, which is a newsletter that I get from a conservative Christian college. It's called Hillsdale College. And the title is Laying Siege to the Institutions. And I love it. That is the mindset. That's the posture. We are not working with, we are not playing nice, we are not engaging with, we are exposing them for what they are, exposing the evil, calling it what it is, which is evil, and we're defeating them. That there is no other way. Losing is not an option. It's just not an option. There's too much at stake. And so it's an excellent piece that we will go into. We're in the middle of Pride Month here in the U.S. I don't know if it's, do you guys have Pride in Australia? I don't know. Is it a global thing? UK, Scotland? In the U.S., it's insane. It's insane. You cannot swing a dead cat without hitting some obscene video of some LGBTQ in various states of undress, like naked, spread eagle, on a stage in front of children. It's like video after video after video, with these kids subjected to this just demonic level of pornographic behavior. It's insane. We cannot surrender our country. We can't surrender our Western democracies to these lunatics. They cannot win. How's that? It is not an option. And we have seen that electing Republicans over the past 30 years has not worked for us, because here we are. So there's got to be another way. So that is the piece that we're going to look at. And it's about winning. It should make you feel great, because it's a template. It's like, okay, here we go. A, B, C, D, E, F, D. This is the way that we do it. Not an option. This is insane. Children's Health Defense, a fantastic organization built by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's amazing. And they are reporting, they're now looking into International Olympic Committee data. This was also reported on OAN. I believe that's One America News. It's one of the newer cable networks, kind of conservative here in the States. And they went back and looked. There was a report. There are two reports, the International Olympic Committee data. And, you know, they look at SADS, sudden adult death syndrome, which has just been invented because all of a sudden adults are dropping dead for no reason. Totally correlating with the rollout of the unprecedented vaccine campaign, unlike anything we've ever seen in the history of the world. And suddenly adults are dropping dead, young adults, healthy adults, athletes. These are prime specimens. These are healthy athletes at the peak of their performance, conditioned. They eat only the best food. They have only the best trainers. I mean, these are the elite in terms of athletes. And they found in this report, they looked at reports of sudden deaths among athletes from, I don't know, somewhere like 1965 to 2004 or 1966 to 2004. And they reported that, you know, an average of about 29 athletes per year suffered from these unexplained sudden deaths. So, you know, you can try to figure out why, but you know, it's something that happens. Well, we are now looking at, and this is a report, this was reported on OAN, a comprehensive study of the number of athlete deaths in the past year, 12 months, from March of 2021 to March of 2022. 769 athletes internationally have dropped dead, unexplained, sudden adult death syndrome. The average, right up until just recently, was about 29. 769 athletes dropping dead. So when you see, and you see the memes, you see the posts and the tweets about another athlete, another young person, mysteriously dying in their sleep, collapsing on the sports field, collapsing on the court, clutching their chests. You've seen the videos. I've seen the videos. GoodSciencing.com is keeping a running tally, a comprehensive list of every single one of these reports. Thank God for good independent sites out there, because without them, we wouldn't have access to this information. In Portugal, COVID-19 deaths are suddenly skyrocketing. Portugal, the most vaccinated country in Europe. And so despite all of this, I talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room. It's obvious the emperor is naked. And we're all still sitting around pretending that he's got a beautiful suit of clothes. It's insane. When are people going to wake up and acknowledge this? Like, when is it? It's got to happen, because the genie's out of the bottle. They can't put this back in the bottle. And I really think we have to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion. We're going to look at the Daniel Horowitz piece. How is this ethical? Pfizer's own trial shows 1 in 71 babies experience severe adverse events from the shot with absolutely no discernible benefit, yet the FDA approves it over the weekend. What the heck is going on? We're going to look into that when we come back in a moment right here on TNT.
John Matlin on TNT Radio.
How does it even get to this point where anyone can look at this and say it's okay or normal? It's outright collusion against the process of a fair election. You have this mega entity with Meta, or Facebook as it was called at that point, and they're dumping in a super large amount of money into the election. There's election officials disregarding law, and these same election officials are going around and they're very anti-Trump in most cases, and they're saying it out loud, and then when they get caught with any type of illegal process, they're getting funds from Zuckerberg. So when do we call it any more obvious than this, that there is an effort in concert to disenfranchise voters?
Well, I think that's right.
John Matlin on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
People join Walk MS to raise awareness and funds that change the world for everyone affected by multiple sclerosis. Walk MS brings communities together, creating teams with friends, loved ones, and coworkers to rally around those we care about and end MS forever. Together, we can change the world for people with MS. Register today at walkms.org.
Bullets are not shot at us from the barrels of guns. Poisons are shot into us from the barrels of syringes.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right on, right on. It is the biggest story, I think, in the world. There is no other story more important than these vaccines. What happened with COVID, the lies we were told, the destruction of our lives over a 2-year period. It is coordinated. It is global in nature, and we've got to fight it. And the vaccines, that is the brass ring, right? The vaccines, forced mandated vaccines against your will, is what these people want, because that will establish essentially the new 21st century human slavery. They'll own your bodies. That's what it's about. Forcing you to get a jab against your will is about them owning your body. And that's why they love it. That's why they want it. That's why they must have it. And all of their experimentation, the gain of function research, everything that they've done with weaponizing these viruses, they are opening a can of worms on humanity that we will not truly even understand until 5-10 years out from this. The goal today is to survive. Understand. And like the benchmark here in terms of the baseline is that you got to start with the premise that they're trying to kill you in some way. Like my advice to my friends and family, if the government tells you to do it, then just do the complete opposite. Like that's the way to stay alive these days. You got to be really smart, and you've got to use common sense and your brain to kind of figure some of this stuff out. But it's difficult. And so despite all of the signals, all of the safety signals, all of the reports, they are still continuing to push these shots, and now they're pushing the shots on babies. And this is Daniel Horowitz's piece. It's fantastic, from The Blaze. How is it ethical, right? Pfizer's own trial shows 1 in 71 babies are experiencing severe adverse events from the shot with no benefit, negative efficacy in some cases, which I'll explain in a minute. He starts out, we've never witnessed a greater violation of the Nuremberg Code regarding human and medical experimentation. The FDA's Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee is set to approve, and they have approved, all of Pfizer's and Moderna shots for babies as young as 6 months old. Even though learned experience and the manufacturer's own trials now show zero net benefit, possible negative efficacy, and a degree of adverse reaction that would outweigh any hypothetical benefits. Negative efficacy means you're worse off. You're more likely to get sick. You're more likely to catch COVID. And you all know anecdotally that your friends and family, especially the boosted, double boosted, and triple boosted, and some of them quadruple boosted, they are the ones getting the sickest. I see it everywhere. I see it everywhere, anecdotally in my own life. And it's tragic. It's tragic, but I can't say anything to my friends. They're like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Oh my word, I have COVID again. I can't go to work. And I just shut my mouth because they will go after. You can't even say anything. You can't even talk about vaccines in polite company because people freak out. They can't handle the truth. I'm convinced it's some form of cognitive dissonance at this point that there are some people out there who are so bought in. I think a lot in our medical class, a lot of doctors, healthcare providers, health professionals, people who were complicit and have been complicit in the crimes against humanity. It is too much emotionally, psychologically for them to handle, to understand, or to allow themselves to even understand cognitively what they have done. And so they can't do it. And so they move into this cognitive dissonance, you know, phase where they will not allow their brain to process anything other than the accepted narrative. Because if they allow anything in, then they have to do business with what they have done. What they have done to themselves, what they have done to their children, what they have done to their communities. And so I think this is why you have such resistance in pockets, because the magnitude of what has happened is too much for them to handle. They'll break. Who wouldn't? Especially the people really pushing this. He said, yeah, in this piece, they focus on Pfizer's own data. And it's the FDA 66-page briefing document that was presented to the FDA, to this panel that would justify their approval of the COVID vaccine for babies. And so he starts out, to begin with, the entire premise of pursuing kids as candidates for the COVID shots at this juncture in the pandemic is illogical. It makes absolutely no sense. It's unethical for a number of reasons. And he lists the reasons. First of all, number one, obviously, most kids have already had the virus. So according to the CDC, 74.2% of children and adolescents had serologic evidence of previous infection with SARS-CoV-2. So why would you, if they have natural immunity, they've already had the virus, what is the point of injecting them with a still experimental, non-FDA approved, by the way, vaccine that doesn't even work with the new variants, that is not even proven to be effective with the new variants? It's just a crapshoot. And that was his next point. Second, we're talking about the entire premise being absolutely insane. Number two, the vaccine is for an extinct variant. And even the VRB PAC member, vaccinologist, Dr. Paul Offit, admits that vaccinating for the original strain during the circulation of Omicron variants runs the risk of harming the immune system with original antigenic sin and making it harder for them to fight the virus. He also noted that the shots are not risk-free. So they're accepting, they are accepting the premise that these shots are not for the variants that are making their way through populations today, and that they are not risk-free, meaning they are risky. You could die from the shots. You could have heart problems from the shots. And, you know, they'll say it in passing, like super quick, right? But cognitively, let that sink in. In fact, in 2 weeks, the same committee is meeting to discuss a future framework for the vaccines in recognition that they don't work for the new variants. So let's just pour another cool $8 billion into the pockets of Pfizer and Moderna. Let's just rape the taxpayer again and have them come up with a new death shot. Let's create death shots in perpetuity. Let's just jam our bodies up shot after shot after shot after shot. Oh, no more boosters for this kind of old decrepit vaccine. Let's just create new ones. They don't care. They will create vaccines till the cows come home, because every time they do, they shove the money in their pockets and they create a very sick population. And what does that very sick population need? Well, they need pharmaceuticals. They need prescriptions. They need healthcare. This is what I meant when I said 18 months ago, you don't understand. The new economy of the 21st century, as envisioned by these megalomaniac lunatics, is an economy based solely on the human body, your human body, as the consumer, the experiment, and the product. Everything is built around injecting you and getting you sick, then getting you well, then getting you sick again. And it is an endless, endless amount of profit. And humans are just broken. And it works out very well for them. Very well for them. They have no problem with eliminating a quarter of the population of the planet. They just don't care. They see us as cattle. I was talking to my daughter in the car today. I was driving her home from a friend's house, and it was on the news. They were talking about how Biden is just jacking up the price of gasoline. I mean, it's insane. People are predicting $10 per gallon gas in the fall. I don't know if that's going to happen, but at some point, it's going to grind the economy to a halt. No one's going to be able to do anything or go anywhere. And there's no indication that there's any kind of deal between Biden and the oil companies. There's no indication that the Biden administration is going to open up any of these energy producers, nothing with the Keystone Pipeline. Like, they're just doubling down. They're just like, let's go. Let's drive the prices up as far as we possibly can. And I mentioned, well, this is all just to move people into either electric cars, which don't work and are too expensive anyway. And it, by the way, you need fossil fuels to power the stations that power your electric car. So it really doesn't do anything. But and also public transportation, and also just an immobile population. They just don't want us moving. They don't want to give us the ability to move around. And the automobile represents just an enormous amount of freedom when you think about it. You can get in your car and just go anywhere. And control freak megalomaniacs don't like that. And she asked me why. Like, why would they want us out of our cars and into public transportation? And I told her, because we're easier to control. The same reason you put a rat in a cage and you limit their movement. The same reason you build fences and pens around herds of cattle and pigs to control movement. And so all of this is an effort to control movement. If you're going to take the 40,000 foot vantage point view, and there are other benefits to it for them, but really at the end of the day, it's all about power and control. Power and control. Back to Horowitz's piece, we're talking about the insanity of the FDA approving these COVID vaccines for children. It's insane, right? They're approving vaccines for an extinct variant of COVID, and they've admitted this. And you can see it in the hearings, and that's where people were getting all this information from. It was insane. It's right out in the open. Number three, kids were never at a meaningful level of risk from the virus in the first place. Yet, they are at the highest risk for the known heart ailments from the shot. So myocarditis, pericarditis. Kids are also more at risk in terms of long-term side effects. Number one, we don't know. We don't know about long-term side effects from the COVID vaccines because we haven't studied them for long enough. And that doesn't really matter if you're a 98-year-old person or 86-year-old person. You only have a few years left in your life. You get the vaccine. If you survive it with the short-term adverse reaction, God bless you. But you're probably not going to have to deal with anything long-term because it's just not going to sit in your body. You'll pass on before that happens. Well, kids have a whole life in front of them. And young adults have a whole life in front of them. And so they are at a higher risk for long-term adverse impact and also at the highest risk for the heart ailments, the myocarditis and the pericarditis. He goes on, we already have millions of adverse events reported in the pharmacovigilance systems. That's a big word. That's a mouthful. Throughout the world. And at an unprecedented rate in hundreds of studies showing elevated risk for an endless stream of maladies. Okay, you name it. You name it. I mean, Bell's palsy, myocarditis, pericarditis, encephalitis, anaphylaxis, blood clots, strokes, paralysis. It's just insane. Shingles is a big one. All types of inflammatory diseases, the suppressed immune system, so then when reinfected with COVID or a variant, they just don't have the capacity to fight it off. It's horrible. And so on its face to begin with, it just makes no sense. Logically, there is absolutely no sense to this. He goes on, we'll get to that when we come back. We're also going to look at this piece, Laying Siege to the Institutions. I love it. Christopher Rufo. This is the bottom-up part. This is what we do about all this madness, and we start in our local institutions. We'll hit that when we come back right here on TNT.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
A notable GOP runoff election will occur on the 21st of June for Alabama's Secretary of State. The contest is between Jim Ziegler and Wes Allen, the leading candidates from the 24th of May primary. They received 42.7% and 39.7% of the vote, respectively. So Ziegler would appear to be the favourite. He has also been endorsed by the America First Secretary of State Coalition, founded by former State Representative Jim Marchant, an organisation strongly concerned about election integrity. Much to the fury of the legacy establishment media, the legitimate concerns of election integrity are the focus of this GOP runoff election for Alabama Secretary of State. And candidate Wes Allen is also running a similar campaign to Jim Ziegler on the issue. There's no point denying that election fraud is a serious issue in the United States. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
Hey Australia, there's never been a better time to check up on your health. We have a world-class healthcare system that's easy to access, even when you can't be there in person. Telehealth enables you to catch up with your GP or health professional, and the Australian government has now made it permanently available through Medicare. Show your health some love, face-to-face, by phone or video call. Care for your health. Find out more at australia.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Today's News Talk Radio. Today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
It's all over the headlines. CDC, not the CDC, FDA is now officially approved COVID-19 shots for babies under the age of 5 years old and as young as 6 months old. It's absolutely insane. Fantastic piece from Daniel Horowitz on what we found out in the meeting, right? We focus on Pfizer's data. They presented this data in the FDA's 66-page briefing document, which is linked in this piece by Daniel Horowitz. This is the type of piece that you're going to want to send to friends and family who still are interested in maybe making a common sense decision about whether or not to vaccinate their children. This is the type of resource that has everything linked, hyperlinked, and all of the best data. Daniel Horowitz is one of the best in the business. You don't get better than Daniel. I've known him for years. He writes for Conservative Review in the Blaze. You can take what he puts on paper to the bank every time. He's one of my favorite sources. And so he's looking at just the insanity of this. First of all, the entire premise of pursuing kids as candidates is insane. And we went over that in the last segment. And he goes on. Secondly, the Pfizer trial for young children ages 6 months through 4 years. So they've been trialing, they've been conducting these, which is human experimentation. I was trying to fight this here in my own backyard. The University of Rochester Medical System in Rochester, New York, they are conducting the COVID-19 trials on children under the age of 5. And it's really disgusting, really disgusting. They went out and found 700, primarily from what I heard, low-income, minority, and immigrant individuals, and they paid them $900 to offer up their babies to be experimented on, to be shot up with the COVID-19 vaccines. And that's happening in my own backyard. We tried to fight it, but you know, we didn't really get anywhere. It's just so sad. They should never be, they should never be experimented on for money. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know how a child at 6 months old can give informed consent, can make a decision. And I don't think parents should be offering their kids up to be experimented on. I really don't. Am I crazy? I don't know. It seems to be common sense to me. But the Pfizer trial, so they've been experimenting on the babies. And from the get-go, as has been the case for all the trials in younger people, researchers could not find any benefit from the shot against death or critical illness because nobody in either arm of the trial wound up getting critically ill and dying. In fact, every data point from every country that measures case rates by vaccination status shows negative efficacy. So for young children who don't get critically ill, you are actually making it more likely that they will get the virus, as witnessed by HHS Secretary Xavier Becerra and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who actually both got COVID twice after getting multiple boosters. Number three, given the lack of efficacy for any clinical trial for children. So what he's saying in that last paragraph, what he was saying is that kids never got critically ill. And they never died from COVID from the beginning. So it's impossible to measure it because we all knew from the get-go, from the very beginning, that that just wasn't a phenomenon that was occurring with kids, the younger you got. And so giving them the vaccine then in this case only makes it worse after they get COVID-19. And we saw that. So then, given the lack of efficacy for any clinical trial for children, Pfizer instead decided to make the primary endpoint of its trial immunobridging rather than clinical outcomes. This is the important part. So they could not prove efficacy. In fact, they were seeing negative efficacy. There was no point in doing this. Everything that they were trying, every trick in the book, every way they were trying to cook the books with these fraudulent clinical trials in children, it wasn't working out for them. They weren't getting the data that they wanted. So they changed their strategy and they threw out having to prove efficacy for children. They decided to make the primary endpoint of its trial immunobridging rather than clinical outcomes. In other words, the company merely measured antibody levels. Okay? But the problem is at this point, most kids already have antibodies. Because most kids, remember that number, 70-some percent were already infected. And he goes on, he underscores this point. To begin with, it's a meaningless measure. As Aaron Rubin, the editor of New England Journal of Medicine, said in an April meeting of VRBPAC, we know what kind of antibody response can be generated. We just don't know if it works. But worse than that, Pfizer had to manipulate the sample size to even find a positive outcome in terms of antibody levels. Whereas Pfizer claims a sample size of children in the clinical trial ages for 6 months through 4 years consisted of 4,526 participants, the researchers only use a tiny percent for the serum tests. They only use 82 children ages 6 to 23 months, and 143 children from ages 2 to 4 years old who had no prior COVID infection. There is no understanding of how and why specifically these kids were selected as the key subgroup to determine the primary endpoint. Well, we can guess. We can make an educated guess. They were trying to essentially get the outcome that they wanted. So they were cherry picking the participants. So who was the control group? Not the blood samples from other babies and toddlers in the very trial from the original pool of 4,526 participants, but a retroactive comparison to 170 random people ages 16 to 25 years from Pfizer's previous adult clinical trial. And they do this right in plain sight. All of this is for public consumption. It is an enormous amount of information. You have to watch these godforsaken meetings for like 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 hours. That's what Daniel does. God bless him. It's totally fraud. What in the world is going on? He asks. I think we can take a guess. Almost all kids today are likely to already have antibodies through natural infection, regardless of vaccine status. So the company rigged the trial to have a fake control group from a past variant in adult population. Right in front of our faces, probably giving us the middle finger as they do it. That's how insane this is. Sensing the public disquiet over its shell game with the antibodies, Pfizer attempted to show that its trial did indeed indicate an 80% reduction in actual COVID cases among the trial group. And Alex Berenson points it out, this is one of the greatest frauds of the entire 2 years of fraudulent clinical trials. And he goes on to explain that. Thus, as witnessed by real-world experience, there's straight up negative efficacy for several periods of time that will outweigh any isolated period of illusory efficacy. And he goes on and on and on and on. I mean, I'm not going to go through the rest of this because there's so much here. There's so much here. What's the bottom line? Well, the bottom line is it would be one thing to approve the shots with such bad data in the middle of an emergency. But how can they get emergency authorization when other policies reflect the fact that the emergency is over, right? How are we even dealing at this point with there's no emergency. I mean, there's an emergency of vaccine injured, people dropping dead from SADS, sudden adult death syndrome, which never existed before the rollout of the vaccines. Or if it did, it was incredibly rare. So what is this emergency use authorization? Why are we still here? Why is this bureaucracy still churning on? Well, because they need to cling to this. Because they still will not, they cannot acknowledge what they have done. The only conclusion one can draw, says Daniel Horowitz, is that the manufacturers want to erase the only control group left to repudiate and serve as a living testament to the failure of this greatest human experiment. Just like they wiped out the control group in every one of their clinical trials. And you heard about that from Brooke Johnson last week. She is a woman suing Pfizer. They unblinded the participants and then got them vaccinated. And the justification was, well, we have to tell them because we're so worried that they'll get COVID. We need to tell them. And they all went out and got vaccinated. So they eliminated the control groups because they don't want to see the truth. Now, those of us who have resisted the vaccines, if you are in that camp, congratulations. You have survived one of the most intense propaganda pressure campaigns I've ever witnessed in my entire life. You've had to give up friends, family. You might have had to give up your job. You had to endure 6 to 12 to 18 months of relentless pressure of the news, the media, everyone telling you that it's inevitable. You're not going to be able to go to concerts. You're not going to be able to get your groceries. You're not going to be able to go to work if you don't get the vaccine. Like, you stood up against that. And there are a lot of us. And we are the control group. Thank God. Thank God there is a growing control group. And there are actually also ways to address vaccine injury. And that is something that's fantastic news. That's something that I'm going to dig into this week I'm not going to get to the piece laying siege to the institutions, but we'll do that tomorrow. There is always the next show. And so we'll definitely get to that. And we are going to look at, this is the good news, right? There are still four, I would guess, at least in the US, about 40% of the population is not vaccinated. That's when you include the young kids 0 to 5 years old and the population of kids 5 to 12 years old. Very few numbers of that population were actually vaccinated, despite what the media made you think. And among the adult population, there is a large group. We don't know exactly what it is, but it exists. And these people are not getting vaccinated. I'd be surprised if these people get any vaccine ever for the rest of their lives. The trust is so destroyed between the American people and our health officials that people are now questioning everything, and rightly so. And rightly so. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening tonight. And we will continue this discussion. This week, we are going to look at, what can you do if you are jabbed? Is there a way to detox? And I'm really excited to dive into that. We'll see if we can get a couple of good guests on the show as well. Thank you so much for tuning in to TNT Radio Live. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all again.